Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In book 11 of his City of God, St. Augustine explores this notion of human beings having been created after in the image of God. And this has raised a lot of questions for many people who want to interpret that passage from Genesis. What does it actually mean to be created in the image of God? Does that mean that God has fingers and a nose and hair and stuff like that? And Augustine rejects anything like that. Instead, he says that the image of God within us is in fact an image of the Trinity. And he's going to talk about this in terms of what you might call basic aspects or dimensions of our being. And one of them has to do with our very being in itself. He says, we exist. We have being. And not only do we exist, that's one, we also know that we exist. We have knowledge. However dim that knowledge may be, we have some self-consciousness. We have some grasp on our own existence. I understand that I exist and that maybe you don't and that you aren't me. And we could go on and on. He doesn't unpack this here, but we might adduce a lot of corollaries from this about what it is to know our existence. And then he goes further yet, and this is where it becomes most interesting. Not only do we exist, not only do we know that we exist, we also love. We bear an affective relation at the very core of our being. We love our existence, and we also love the knowledge of that existence. And this is similar to how many Trinitarian metaphysicians or theologians have unpacked this notion of the Trinity. You have the Father, you have the Son generated out of the Father, who is in a certain sense the knowledge of the Father, and then you have the Holy Spirit, who is the love between the Father and the Son, but a love that is equally substantial or consubstantial, or however you want to put it. And all three of them are, in fact, and this is where it gets a bit mysterious, the same being, and you might say the relations within the being. And we're not going to worry about that at this point, because we're more interested in the human being and the corollaries for this. So this is telling us about what it is to have a human nature, to exist, to have knowledge of existence, and to love both that existence and that knowledge. Now, Augustine goes a little bit further in this, and he says, in these three things, no true-seeming illusion disturbs us. And there are several reasons. One is that he says no bodily sense is involved here. It's not disturbing us. There's no, as he says, representation or image or the senses involved. Instead, we grasp this, as he's going to say a little bit later on, through a higher sense that is distinctively human. He says, here we go, we have another and far superior sense belonging to the inner person by which we perceive what things are, just and what unjust, just by means of an intelligible idea, unjust by the means of it, right? And this is the sense that we're using to you might say, make sense out of what it is that we are. So we're using a higher faculty, and that faculty, now it could be deceived, right? But it's not being deceived because of the senses or some sort of image. Could I be deceived about this? He brings up the academics at this point, and the academics were skeptics. They were people who thought that for every position, you had to provide evidence for it. If you couldn't provide evidence or argument for it, then we should suspend belief in it and say, well, we don't really know. And in their view, that applied to just about everything, although some of them accepted a doctrine of probability. Put that aside for the moment. He says, what if you're deceived? Well, if I am deceived, I am. I exist. Because who's being deceived, right? Now, if when you read this, you say, wait a second, I thought Descartes came up with that idea. No, actually, Augustine talks about it in The City of God, and Descartes knew about it through Augustine, so Descartes is not completely original in this respect. And he's pointing out that any deception would be self-contradictory. If I'm deceived about my own existence, I must exist in order to be deceived about it. But he goes further, and he says, if I am deceived, I am. He who is not cannot be deceived. And if I am deceived, by the same token I am. And since I am, if I am deceived, how am I deceived in believing that I am? How can I be deceived about having knowledge of my own existence? He says that it's certain that I am if I am deceived. So, I, the person deceived, would be, even if I were deceived, certainly I'm not deceived in this knowledge that I am. And consequently, neither am I deceived in, notice what he says here, knowing that I know. We not only have knowledge of our own existence, we have knowledge of our knowledge. We know that we know. So we can't be deceived about that either. He goes on further. Because remember, there's the third thing. He says, when I love these two things, I add to them a certain third thing, namely my love, which is of an equal moment. And I cannot be deceived in this, that I love. I know that I love, since in those things which I love, I am not deceived. And then somebody could say, well, what if you love the wrong thing? What if you love something that isn't what you think it is? Like you love somebody who turns out to be a spy for a foreign country, right? Wouldn't that throw you for a loop? And you'd say, well, yes, I'm deceived about what they are, but I'm not deceived about the fact that I love them. I'm not deceived about the love. And when it comes to being loving towards our own selves, I'm not deceived about the fact that I exist. I'm equally not deceived about the fact that I love my own existence. I might love it in somewhat the wrong way. I might be in the dark about certain aspects of my being, but I still do know that I love myself. And I love the knowledge that I have of myself, even if sometimes it's quite painful. It says, in those things which I love, I'm not deceived. Even if those were false, it would still be true I loved false things. How could I justly be blamed and prohibited from loving false things if it were false that I love them? Since they are true and real, who doubts that when they are loved, the love of them is true and real? And Augustine goes further than this in the chapter that immediately follows that in Book 11. And he talks about plants and animals. Now, they don't have knowledge in the way that we do. And they don't possess that higher sense, he thinks, the way that we do. They are dependent on the sense world or on what they're able to take in, perhaps through plants, through their equivalent to senses, the biological mechanisms that govern them. But they still do have being. And even though they don't have knowledge in the full sense of their being, they still do love their being and desire their being. They seek out what is helpful for them, what conduces to their continuing to exist, and they avoid what is going to be damaging to them or cause them not to exist. He goes on and he talks about men and you know, in the similar sense, we all try to avoid our own deaths, but he says that plants and shrubs, which have no life as enables them to shun destruction by movements we can see, they still seek in their own fashion to conserve their existence. They root themselves more deeply in the earth so they may draw nourishment. They draw out healthy branches to the sky. And then he goes on a little bit further, going down the scale metaphysically in a lower state of being, and he says, even lifeless bodies, which want not only some sensation, but even life, they seek the upper air, sink deep, or balance so that they may protect their existence in the situation where they can exist most in accordance with their nature. We might not want to follow Augustine that far. We might see that as just, you know, part of the what it is for them to be, that they don't have any love for their being. But he is saying that this is something that living beings do have. And notice that it's very important that for Augustine, we, in fact, love the knowledge of our existence. We want to understand what our existence is. We don't just want to exist. We want to understand things. He says, how much human nature loves the knowledge of its existence, how it shrinks from being deceived, will be sufficiently understood by this fact. Every person prefers to grieve in a sane mind rather than to be glad in madness. And he says, this is unique to us. this grand and wonderful instinct. He says, some of them have keener eyesight than ourselves, but they cannot attain the spiritual light with which our mind is somehow irradiated, so we can form right judgments of things. This doesn't mean, of course, that we have it all figured out, that we totally understand our existence, that we love rightly in every case. But this is central to Augustine's anthropology. And what he's providing you here with is a conception of what is at the core of human nature, understood not just in terms of our being and our knowledge, but also in terms of our affectivity, what it is that we love, what it is that we desire, what it is that we strive after. And that makes us what we are. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.